Now, today's word.
Well, as you know, I started teaching on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ last week, and I'm continuing with my message in that regard. This is part two of the message titled, The Grace of Our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the foundation of our Christian life. Grace is the foundation of the new covenant we have with Christ. Grace is the basis on which God relates to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I started with a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Most of you are familiar with it. You quote it all the time. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we recite this verse as part of a conclusion to a meeting or as part of prayer. But in the verse, Jesus Christ is ascribed grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You see the Trinity there. Grace comes from Christ, love from the Father, fellowship from the Holy Spirit. And we're considering grace. So let me just go through some of the things I said last week to define grace. What is grace? Grace is God's character by which he shows himself compassionate, accepting, and generous to sinful human beings. Grace is expressed through Jesus Christ. And I said grace is three things. Number one, it is God's undeserved goodwill towards us. That is when God shows us kindness and mercy we don't deserve. We haven't worked for it. We haven't made effort to get it. And God makes it available to us. God's undeserved goodwill to us. Grace is also God's willingness to share in our lives. Grace is when God participates in our lives. It starts with God creating us in his own image. It continues with God's intervention in human history. It is grace that allows God, who is above all, to come to our level. The psalmist asks the question, when I consider all your creation, the sun, the moon, the stars you've created, what is man? What is so special about man that God visits him? It's grace that allows God to visit us. Number three, grace is God's help extended to us. Grace is when God reaches out to us, gives us strength, gives us help, and helps and makes him stand with us even when we are weak. The Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then he is strong, because his grace is sufficient for me. Grace is God's help extended to us. Now, in the Bible, if you look through your Bible, you'll find that there are two main divisions in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so the Bible has two major covenants or two major testaments, the Old and the New. They are not the only covenants in the Bible, but they're the two pivotal ones. The Old Testament is built around the law, and the New Testament is built around grace. But because both the Old and the New are in one book, the Bible, sometimes we are not sure whether we should live by the law or by grace, because they are all in the Bible. And it's always confusing to Christians, and not only to Christians today, but even to the early Christians. Determining whether to live by the law or by grace was very, very important. And much of Paul's teaching was to help the church to understand that although the law is also God's dispensation to us, that in Christ we live under grace and not under law. The law depends on our effort to reach God, and grace depends on God's effort to reach us. So the law is man reaching to God. Grace is God reaching to man. Two different approaches to our relationship with God. So go to Romans chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, and let's hear what the Bible says about our inheritance as Christians and how we get it. Romans chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Much of the whole book of Romans is about the debate between the law and grace. And as you read it, you get clearer understanding of those two concepts, law and grace. But this passage summarizes it in a sense. It says, "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression." Verse 16. "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace." And if your Bible is yours, please underline that phrase. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now, there is an argument there that is progressively. Verse 14 says, if being an heir of God, remember we talked about being heirs of God, if it says if being an heir of God is based on the law, then faith is unnecessary. Faith is void, and the promise of God is of no effect. So if we become heirs of God through the law, then what is the need of faith? Because the law does not depend on faith. Then in verse 15, it goes further and says, the reason why the law cannot produce heirs is because, first of all, the law brings about wrath. The law brings wrath. Now, you can't have a relationship built on wrath. For there to be a relationship, there has to be love. But the law brings wrath. The law allows the wrath of God to come to us. Why? Because the law makes us aware of sin. As a matter of fact, Paul argues that where there is no law, there is no sin. If there is no law that says don't commit adultery, then committing adultery is not a sin. But once there is a law that says don't do it, then when you commit it, you committed a sin and wrath comes to you. And as a result, he says the law cannot produce heirs because the law constantly makes us aware of our sinfulness and the wrath of God coming to us. And so verse 16, he says, if the law does not make us heirs of God, then what makes us heirs of God? He says, faith. And if it is of faith, then it is by grace. It's very important because in that sentence, Paul links faith and grace together. If it is of faith, it is of grace. So anything that requires faith requires grace as well, because you can't have faith without grace. Faith and grace are twins. They go together. If it is of faith, then it is of grace. If something requires faith, it also requires grace. Faith cannot operate without grace. All right. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And Ephesians 2, 8, very popular verse. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace you have been saved. So what makes us saved according to Ephesians 2:18? Grace. What makes us saved is grace, but you can't just get saved by grace alone. It has to be through faith. So grace and faith working together. Faith operates through grace. Faith operates through grace. If it is of faith, then it is of grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith operates through grace. Very, very important concept. Very, very important. Faith operates through grace. You'll get it as I progress. Now, how does that happen? It happens two ways. Grace qualifies us. Grace qualifies us. Grace qualifies us to receive what we are not qualified to receive. Grace removes everything that is a hindrance between us and God. It clears the way for us to have access to God. Grace qualifies us to be forgiven. Even if you were the worst sinner in the world, and I don't think anybody here in this auditorium today is the worst sinner in the world, but peradventure, if you were, grace qualifies you to be saved. Grace qualifies people who have committed the most heinous crimes in this world to be saved. Grace qualifies us. Grace qualifies us to be used by God. But then after grace has qualified us, faith enables us. Faith enables us. Grace qualifies us. Faith enables us. Now let me just use an illustration to help you to get the concept. Grace qualifies us. Everybody say grace qualifies us. Faith enables us. All right. Now I want you to imagine that you are a person who is seeking for money, which is what most people are seeking for. So you are seeking for money. And between you, can I get somebody, Pastor Osei, can let me use this to illustrate. So I'm looking for money, and Pastor Osei has the money. Go and stand there. You have 10 bars of gold in your hand. Hold the bars. Now, how many of you know that's a good thing? 10 bars of gold. Better than CDs. So he has 10 bars of gold. I need money. So I see him that he has what I desire. So I say, oh, I'm going for the gold because my answer is over there. Then just as I want to go to him, I look down and I realize that between me and him, there is a big valley. The valley is wide, I can't jump it, and the valley is deep. If I decide to climb, I will go down, 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 and never come up. So it's impossible for me to get there. Are you following me? But he has what I'm looking for. But I am not qualified now to get it because I don't have access to get it. So then, whilst I'm here contemplating and saying, oh, I need that. I need the gold. I need the help, but I can't get it. I can't cross, and it's too deep. Then he sees my need and says, okay, I have the solution to your problem. And he rolls a bridge across the valley. Now, that bridge is grace. What has grace done? Grace has now qualified me to go across. Grace now says the hindrance between me and you has been bridged. Now you can come to where I am and get what you want. But grace doesn't solve it all, because if he rolls out the bridge, I have to walk on the bridge. Now I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at the bridge, and I'm looking at how deep and wide it is, and the bridge doesn't look very, very solid. So I have to walk on the bridge. It's going to require faith. Now, how do I get the faith? He tells me, trust me, that bridge is solid, and you can get to where I am. So grace is the bridge. Faith comes by hearing his word. And because he has promised me, I walk on grace and come and take what I'm looking for. Are you following what I'm saying? Thank you. So Grace does not do all the job. Grace bridges the gap, qualifies you, and faith enables you to walk on grace. So in our salvation, by grace we have been saved. But if you didn't act on faith, you wouldn't be saved. So we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is not our own effort. Faith comes by God. So that's why Ephesians says, even the faith is not yours. Because the faith comes from God. So faith receives what grace offers. Faith receives what grace offers. Grace makes the offer. Faith receives it. Grace makes the way. Faith does the walking. So there are people who just say, you know, everything is by grace. Everything is by grace. And it's true that Paul said, I am what I am by grace. But he also said, I have labored. I have done something. So grace brings the bridge. Faith walks on it. So anytime there is grace extended to you, faith must be used. Otherwise, the grace of God will not work in your life. And I would explain that a little bit later. All right. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. And if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work.